Welcome back, and joining me now to unpack the day's trade is independent analyst Jimmy Moyaha, and we'll be getting into that conversation in just a bit. Before we do, I just want to take a look at some of the movement that's been filtering through on global markets today, because we've had global markets kick things off on a cautious note. Investors weighing the risks of European lockdown restrictions on the one hand. Analysts, however, aren't as worried, saying that these kind of risks have already been priced in. So let's take a listen before we get to Jimmy's thoughts.
I think that's why we've seen the Treasury market rally at the back end of last week, and why stock markets look as though they're going to start the week on a weaker footing. So I think it wouldn't be a big surprise if it's a weak day for the stock market, even some weakness for the whole of the week. But at the end of the day, I think we're kind of getting used to these renewed lockdowns now. This is what, the fourth wave that's happening. So if there's a bit of weakness in the stock market, I don't think it's going to lead to a correction. So we're still pretty happy being fully invested with equity exposure.
So do you hold on to your exposure, or do you actually buy in on the weakness? Because this could be an opportunity if your sort of medium-term view and even longer-term view is as it is, and this is just a bit of a stumble in the road.
Yeah, it's difficult for us to buy in on the weakness at the minute because we're fully invested. But I think, if you're sitting on the sidelines, I know that valuations look stretched. They look stretched in both equities and fixed income, actually. But at the end of the day, there's so much liquidity still in the system built up from COVID pandemic savings, that I think there's a wall of money still waiting to find a home. So I think if you're waiting for the right moment to be invested in particularly the stock market, you could be waiting for a while, because I think also with policy support in the background, that's still a good market to be invested in the stock market.
I think the COVID crisis is not over as a pure health-related issue. And we see that come back again in Europe. We had countries which we thought had controlled it in good shape, especially with the lockdowns now in Germany and in Austria. It shows that even some of the most advanced countries in Europe are not completely free. So I think what it means is, to answer your question, through the end of the year, for sure, COVID is going to be a theme. We saw oil prices back off, for example, in the last month, largely because of developments taking place in Europe under COVID situation. And from a policy making viewpoint, Yusuf, it is going to keep the European Central Bank just pushing the gas pedal still. They are not going to back off as long as the COVID situation is still in a bad case.
Well, that was Komal Srikumar from Srikumar Global Strategies and Oliver Kettlewell from Mashreq Capital as well. Jimmy, let's bring you in at this point. And I wanted to get those viewpoints, because while I say we had markets globally starting off on a very, cautious footing, we start to see green emerge as the trading day progressed, right? And one wonders the extent to which all of these risks have been priced into markets already. And whenever we see a blip, it being very temporary in nature.
Good evening, Anisha. Certainly, I mean, what we've definitely seen with the pricing in as well across various sectors is the dollar has been reacting over the last little bit. We know that last week, of course, most importantly in the U.S., that additional $1 trillion stimulus in the infrastructure side that President Biden had been trying to pass has finally gone through, which has further increased and cemented the infrastructure or the stimulus that the U.S. has been pumping into the economy. Now, of course, that does raise a bit of concerns as well, as the clip rightly mentioned, around whether or not that stimulus is going to be able to be sustainable for the U.S. population, or whether or not the U.S. is now going to have to sharply pull back as a result of the increased inflation from overstimulating their economy. By contrast, I mean, if you look at Europe as well, you've got a situation in Europe where a lot of the countries within the Eurozone remain largely socialistic, wanting to see an improvement in the quality of the living conditions of their people. I mean, you look at Sweden's adoptions of their types of policies and how they approach their situations. You look at Germany as well. Austria is another example. You're sort of getting a sense throughout Europe that there isn't the same sort of rushed pace to slow down their tapering. I mean, they mentioned that their PEP program could continue, or they could look to only start reducing their PEP program from mid next year, which, if that lines up with the US's timeline, that lines up with when we expect the US tapering to sort of step back there. I mean, we know that the US is cutting back on their bond buying at about $15 billion per month. So that's expected to run until mid next year. So now that creates another problem for the Eurozone as well, is that if the US is to now start in June of next year with their rate hikes, you then will see that the Eurozone is now a couple of cycles behind, because they still need to start their tapering before they start their rate hikes. So we could very well see a disparity or a disconnect in terms of the Eurozone versus the US in terms of recovery and in terms of reducing the tapering or speeding up the tapering, depending on how this all plays out. I think for the moment, the major concern, of course, from the European side of it is that added risk of, as you rightly mentioned, the added risk of the COVID lockdowns and that sort of thing. While that is being priced in to a certain extent, I think what might be a heavy factor there would be whether or not this new COVID resurgence is the same strain or the similar strains that have been treated in the past, or whether it's a completely new mutated strain. If it's the similar strains we saw in the past, we could very well see that that's sort of been expected or planned for from a business perspective and from a healthcare perspective. But if it's not and it's a new strain, we could see a whole new host of problems.
And this is where guidance of economies through this post-COVID recovery becomes imperative, right? Amidst it all, Biden's picked Fed Reserve Chair Jerome Powell to lead the bank for yet another term. And ahead of that announcement, we had analysts warning that markets might weaken if there was a change in leadership. Here's more on that before we take a look at market reaction post the announcement now having been made.
I think that if Lael Brainard, who's the outside contender in this race, were to become nominated as Fed chairperson, we would likely see a bit of a weakening of the dollar here, which has been appreciating relentlessly over the last 4 weeks. Lael Brainard is seen as a dove, and she will be less likely in pushing for further rate hikes in the US, so that could lead to a bit of a weakening of the dollar here.
Do you expect a change in the pace of taper? Because this was the debate that has been formulated over the last couple of days, with the vice chair, Clarida, coming out and suggesting that maybe that is in the mix for the December meeting. Is this something now that markets need to start thinking about?
Yeah, that's a theme that has gained a lot of prominence over the last couple of days. I had a call with Jim Bullard during the IMF annual meetings in October, and Jim Bullard from the St. Louis Fed was the first future voting member of the FOMC who came up with the idea of tapering faster in order to set the conditions for rate hikes starting in the summer of 2022. And he's now been joined by Richard Clarida, vice chair of the Fed, on Friday, who also argued that inflation is on the rise. It may make sense from a precautionary perspective to end the asset purchases sooner than originally anticipated. So that is definitely a debate that is gaining steam.
Okay, and if we get more clarity on that debate in December, if indeed they change the asset purchases to bring taper forward further in December, can the market look through that? What would you expect the market reaction to be? Because some would expect that and see that then as pulling the rate hike cycle forward as well.
Absolutely. So I would rule out a decision to speed up the tapering in December, but there could be a first debate. That is all that Richard Clarida is calling for. And if they were to speed up the tapering, that is a decision that would likely have to be taken in the spring of 2022. So you see, we've got these different forces here pulling and pushing on euro-dollar exchange rate. The possibility of faster tapering in the U.S., which would lead to a stronger dollar. At the same time, the possibility of an appointment of Lael Brainard, which would push the dollar weaker.
That was the head of fixed income at Union Investment Private Funds, Christoph Kopf. So now let's take a look at this market reaction. All of that commentary, of course, now, was very speculative ahead of that announcement being made. Is any of that argument now completely off the table that now that we've seen that Jerome Powell has been reinstated for a second term, Jimmy?
I think a lot of that has sort of remained consistent. I mean, we know that Jerome Powell has very similar views on the U.S. job markets that line up with President Biden's goals. I mean, President Biden is looking to have a Fed chair in place that encourages or that helps him achieve greater job participation. He's looking to deliver full employment, looking to keep inflation rates low, and looking to keep prices in check. And those are the same sorts of viewpoints that President Powell or Fed Chair Powell has shared in the past. We've seen that Fed Chair Powell hasn't been too quick to react to sort of inflationary pressures or market participants suggesting rate hikes or suggesting early tapering. And he's been sort of calm in his approach to this, which is exactly what President Biden has needed from his Fed Chair. And it's exactly what he's expecting from the Fed Chair going into this new time with this new stimulus. Of course, that's going to draw some criticism from the camps that want to see the inflation being kept in check. And we did mention earlier, of course, that if we do start to see, because of this added stimulus that's now being put in, if we do start to see an increase in inflation or inflation not necessarily coming down, we might see interest rates being hiked earlier than expected, which the market hasn't yet priced in at this stage. Now, should that happen and should we then see that situation, at the moment, I mean, the new stimulus that's been passed is almost a like-for-like replacement of the $1,400 stimulus package that was passed for U.S. residents in that from a monetary perspective, it sort of does balance that out. But now that stimulus on top of previous stimuluses that we have seen, and that's the concern there, is that now the market has been stimulated to that extent from the $1,400 wage adjustments for individuals, now with the added infrastructure increase, and whether or not the U.S. is going to be able to sustain this, or whether or not the U.S. has pumped in too much money into their economy, yeah, and now that's caused a sharp spike in inflation, or them struggling to cap inflation and maintain it and keep it under control. Of Absolutely. Course, as we said, this is a complete contrast to what's happening in Europe, and this could be another big factor for the U.S. because their inflation could spiral a lot quicker than the rest of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. All of that happening on the global scene. I want to bring things back home now because we've had quite a few earnings filtered through, Jimmy, and I want to blitz through as many of them as we possibly can in the time that we've got left. And perhaps let's start off with Naspers and Prosus, because on an overall green day, those two coming under pressure. In fact, Naspers, the worst performer on the top 40 index today, losing 2.3%. Prosus falling back 1.5% as well. A lot of what has come through, though, was guided for last week.
Certainly. I mean, we did see that both Naspers and Prosus did have positive weeks last week. They did perform fairly well. And I think the announcement around or the guidance that was given last week has sort of come in line with what was expected. And we should see that when those numbers do start to translate and start to be dissected in greater detail, that the Naspers' online business components through the Take Lot and the Mr. Delivery side of the businesses there have performed really well in this time. But, of course, there is that added bit of concern around the future prospects of growth going into the new financial year. And that's sort of being priced in a little from a share price perspective. But also, we could be seeing that this retreat at this stage is just, it's early in the week, and those numbers, as they come in line with those expectations, we could still see a rebound from both Naspers and Prosus.
Yeah, we've had quite a few companies reinstate dividends, if not top it up with special dividends. Let's take a look at Netcare, because it's amongst the lot. Of course, you know, it's approved a payout of 34 cents per share for its year to the end of September. Jimmy, what have you made of the kind of recovery we've started to see at Netcare? It's a similar theme that Life Healthcare brought to the fore last week when it talked about how it's just managing to handle the situation a lot better than it did last year this time.
Certainly. I mean, last year, if you look at last year this time, and we were still fairly new to the pandemic, in that a lot of sectors were still adjusting to the pandemic and adjusting to how to manage it, how to manage those levels, We were still, as a country, we were still reeling through various stages of lockdown. And I think at this point where we are now, we've sort of gone through a couple of waves of or resurgences of the COVID virus. We've also gone through exercises to get vaccines out and get a lot of our population vaccinated. And I think those factors have come in good stead for the healthcare sector. I mean, we spoke about MediClinic a couple of weeks ago when we gave guidance and gave that as a potential stock to watch for the new year. And Netcare very much like that in the private healthcare space, in that they've been able to adapt to the conditions, and the conditions that we're seeing now are not exactly a repeat of last year's conditions as yet, and so being better prepared for the scenario, anticipating that we could look at last year's levels, all of the healthcare providers as well as other sectors within our local economy might be sort of putting in place better measures to anticipate what might happen in December, and if that doesn't happen, then all the better for them. They're just well prepared for those scenarios.
Yeah, amidst it all, what's your stock pick at the moment, Jimmy?
At this point, I think I'm looking towards the international markets. I'm looking in the US, and I'm probably looking at Best Buy, subject to a couple of things. Best Buy at the moment is trading at all-time highs, but Best Buy, much like Dell, much like Nvidia, is expected to see an increase as the increase in or the demand in the tech space increases. We've got a lot of tech companies forecasting that they're going to have greater demand for their product. The concern around Best Buy at the moment, of course, is going to be subject to those chip shortages we are seeing globally and the supply chain interruptions that we are seeing affect the global markets. So aside from those two factors, I'd probably be looking at a bit of price pullback on Best Buy and a long-term hold on Best Buy into 2022.
Let's leave it there. Jimmy, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Jimmy Moyaha joining us, who's an independent analyst.